I just want to welcome everybody to week number two with the Millionaire Maker. And I know that she gave us some fun work, homework, whatever, last week. I hope you had a chance to do that, because it's very revealing when you do that type of look at where you're at. And, you know, really to move forward, you got to know that, and you got to start with the basis there. So without much further ado, I want to welcome again Laurel Langmire, who really has been such a blessing to so many people's lives. And she's with us this week and again next week. Very special time with her. So I'm going to put us on group mute until Laurel takes us off. And let Laurel, do you want to start with group or without group?
Let's start without and just go for a while. I'm going to do a lot more Q&A at the end, because today's topic is just really, really critical on cash machines. And
okay,
there'll be a lot of questions, so I'd rather do some content now and then a lot more time for questions at the end.
Okay. Well, here's what we'll do. I'll put everyone on group mute now, and then when we get ready for Q&A later in the call, I'll take everyone off. So please welcome Ms. Laurel Langmire.
Well, thank you. And, again, lots of homework from last week. Hopefully you got that accomplished. And as we move into tonight's call, and some of you, I don't know if you're new or not, but I'm going to do a quick review before we go into tonight, because tonight we're really going to talk about cash machines, which is half of the wealth cycle. And then, as I discussed last week, we're going to wrap it up next week with the other half of wealth cycles. So, again, in our work, we're looking at, I mean, really sustainable financial independence. So you got to do the right thing at the right time. And shocking, as a lot of you heard last week, we are not going to get you out of debt. There's, like, that creates nothing. And in the wealth cycle, just for your review, the wealth cycle is income to assets, assets to income. So for most people, when they hear that, you know, I think the biggest critique I have on Amazon is, Langmire says go get another job. I never say get another job. I say make more money. So what, all of you have skill sets. So there's some way that you're currently making money. Now, you may be paid as a W-2 for it right now, maybe an employee. You may be contracted for that skill. And what we're going to do tonight is talk about how can you make that more entrepreneurial? How can you take that and make it into what we call a cash machine? A way that, you know, you put a quarter in, you get a dollar back, but you're just constantly making money. Vic, you're a master at this. And building these cash machines is absolutely an essential piece of the Millionaire Maker planning process. So, again, income means new income. New income to you, new income to your family, new income for the rest of your life. And then as you make it, because you're now more entrepreneurial, we're going to have it come into you as a real business, meaning a corporation. So we're going to talk about that tonight as well. And with that, you get 66,000 pages of the tax code for those of you in the United States. Those of you in other countries, it's not quite as good, but you still get better tax benefits. So you make the money, you keep it home, and then next week we're going to talk about how do you get that money invested so you have returns that are in the double digits consistently for the rest of your life. It's just so simple. So, again, cash machines is our focus tonight. Next week is, you know, getting off your lazy assets and how do you really move your assets into action. So tonight's homework will include both topics, because I really need you to come prepared next week for the asset call. To do that one unprepared is a little tough. So cash machines, what are they? They are not another job. They are not a, just a hobby. I think a lot of people, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to take your hobby and we're going to build it into a cash machine. A cash machine is not the cash flow from your investments. Like a lot of people will say, oh, well, I'm going to go out and take my $60,000 or my $80,000, I'm going to go buy a bunch of cash flow homes or invest in a cash flow business, and the investment will give me cash flow, hence I have a cash machine. That's not a cash machine. That's cash flow from investments. A cash machine is new money that you're actually going to go out and do something for it. And so you're going to run a business. You're going to run a company. You're going to run and direct some people to help you establish, you know, how you're going to, you know, create the money. And I always say that because I think a lot of people get cash machines confused. Cash machines are extra money in your pocket so we can accelerate your wealth very quickly. It's really critical. We find that people who don't do cash machines slow down their plan really by 5 to 10 years. So You know, we can invest your money really well. You'll see that next week. We can give you better tax planning. But just think, it's, you know, instead of, you know, putting $200 or $500 away a month for your retirement, is the word they called it, me, you know, prior to Laurel Bay. I call it Freedom Day. I mean, just think if you could start putting $1,000 a month away. You could put, you know, $3,000 a month away, $5,000 a month away. I have some people who are putting $10,000 a month towards new assets to accelerate their wealth cycle, which means as they continue that pattern, I mean, within 3 to 5 years, they'll be doubling their net worth on a consistent cycle. It's amazing to see what the compounding power of money does. So, again, like I had a 78-year-old guy. This was great. I had just this week in my mentoring program at Laurel's Big Table, and, you know, he came to the big table to invest millions of dollars. He got it all done. He's making a lot of cash flow. And I said, so now what are you going to do? He said, well, it looks like I need to build a 20-year cash machine because I'm going to live till I'm 98. So, again, I say that because I think a lot of people are tired of what they're doing, and they just can't imagine themselves working, for lack of a better word. Yeah, I really say staying busy, you know, staying productive and active is really the words I like, staying productive and active with your life. As you become wealthy, I mean, you have to think. I mean, Bill Gates, not sure how old he is. I think he's actually only in his late 50s. You know, dear mentor friend of ours, Bob Proctor's in his 70s. I don't see, I mean, unless you see him, Vic, I don't see him quitting for a long time. Warren Buffett's in his 80s. You have to wonder, you know, why do so many people, I mean, Jim Rohn, that was at the event, I think he's in his early 80s, I think. Why do these people continue? You know, what I find is a lot of people who are continuing continue because they want their brain to be active. I mean, the minute you go home and just sit on the couch and watch TV and eat bonbons, I mean, your time's like, your clock's ticking. In fact, historically, those who have studied, you know, this whole theory of or phenomenon of retiring, you know, most people die within 2 years of truly retiring because, you know, retiring is like to be put to bed. I mean, you're done. So our goal is to keep you active and engaged in something you want to do for the rest of your life. So as you think about your cash machine, let's start. There are 5 steps to building a cash machine in our model. So I want you to write these down. And, yes, we're coming out with a product. We don't actually have this cash machine product exactly the way I'm going to tell it to you tonight because we're honestly, you know, recreating it all the time as our clients, you know, are just zooming with success. We're finding there is a sequence that's very, very, very effective. So here's your 5-step sequence in order. Number one, identify your skill set, which means how do you currently get paid for what it is you do? Like I had a woman who come through recently, and she's an executive assistant. And she said, so I just, you know, I don't know what you're going to do for me because, you know, I just don't have a lot of skills and I just don't know what you think I'm going to do. And I just, you know, I'm tired of really, you know, being an assistant to somebody. And, you know, all of you who put your thinking brains on, you'll get this really quick. I said, we're going to take that skill set and why not be a virtual assistant? She said, well, you didn't hear me. I'm kind of tired of working for people. I said, but that's the only thing you've ever done to make money. And she said, I really want to be like a writer or a coach, something different. I said, but you don't know how to make any money doing that. And that's the biggest mistake, and this is like a trillion-dollar tip. The biggest mistake you'll make in the beginning of building cash machines is to go outside of your skill set. So for her, yeah, she might know how to write, but she doesn't know how to get a writing client. She may know how to coach, but she doesn't know how to get a coaching client. What she does know how to do, and she's very well connected because of her executive assistant position that she has been working in, is she does know how to support people's lives. Now, whether she likes it or not, this is what I told her. I said, if you don't do this, you're going to slow down 5+ years. So go make money doing exactly what it is you know how to do. People don't know how to build PowerPoints. You know, some people are horrible at it. So build PowerPoints for people. Build some Excel spreadsheets. Work on some project plans. Take care of people's travel itineraries. So instead of doing it for one person that you might not like, do it for 20 different people. Control your clients, control the amount of money you make, and you'll probably triple the amount of money you're making, and you'll actually enjoy the business that you're doing with people. And think about it as you're working with them instead of for them. You have to reframe your business. So anyway, she's off and running. Our goal this year is to build her $250,000. She makes $80,000 now, so she's going to triple. But let's build her $250,000 virtual assistant business, and it is very doable. Some of you on the call say there is no way she could triple in 1 year. It is so easy to think about how she could triple in 1 year. Number one, she's going to get herself an enormous pay raise. She's going to make $40 to $50 an hour. She can outsource that to people making, you know, $18 to $20 an hour, so she basically doesn't even have to do all the work. So I mean, you can use that same model. Like, I've taken teachers and helped them build tutoring companies. I've taken gardener, people who love gardening and landscaping, and make them a full landscaping company. People who like to write, like, let's really work on a writing career. Instead of just editing kind of behind a bunch of writers, like, take the front side and do the creative writing if that's what you want to do, and that's what you've been paid to do. Like, I have a person that works at a magazine, and she was the creative editor for really one of the most famous national magazines. But she's like, oh, I just don't have a skill set. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you have such a skill set. And plus, you have a reputation that's huge. I have people who are great at marketing. They're marketing inside large corporations. I said, be a marketing consultant for smaller entrepreneurs and the cash machine people that we're helping build cash machines. I have a woman who's doing a business of Every Mother Needs a Mother. It's essentially a home concierge program. So she's going to coordinate people coming in to do nanny services, basic babysitting, to cleaning their house, just coordinating massage, to picking up their dry cleaning, whatever a household needs. Where, you know, typical, like, what mothers would do, it's a great concept. So the whole, her business is going to be called Every Mother Needs a Mother. It's a great little business. Dog walking companies. I mean, there's so much that you can do with what you know or what you've currently been paid to make more money. So your first homework is, what's the skill set? How have you been paid? And from how you've been paid, let's create some business around it. For those of you on the call that are more engineering and IT-like, you're going to be consultants in those directions. Instead of being paid as an employee, be paid as a consultant. And many of you, immediately I know your answer, will say, my company won't do that. And I would challenge that you haven't tried hard enough. You actually haven't gone and had a conversation about how that saves the company money by you being an independent contractor. So I'm going to challenge that that's actually a direction to go. Now, step number two is, I want you to find what I call a model company. So once you kind of identify the business you're going to do, oh, yeah, another really big one that's booming all over, I think I might have mentioned it last week, is scrapbooking. And I had two more people come in and say, I'm a photographer, and I just don't know how to make money doing it. How do I, you know, use that skill set for more? So, again, you know, there's so many ways to make money with skill sets. So, number one, find the business that you're going to do. Then number two, find the model company. And here's what I mean by that. I'm going to use the Every Mother Needs a Mother business. So, for example, she could put a whole bunch of people on payroll. That's one choice for her. Right? She could put a whole army of people on payroll and, you know, have massage therapists on payroll. She could have all these people on payroll. That would be what I call an in-house model, meaning she keeps them all on her staff. A better model for her, especially in the beginning, because she doesn't have as much startup capital, is to do what I call joint venture relationships. So she owns the company. She does all the marketing to the customer and the clients. But then she outsources it to specific massage companies or to specific people for nannying or specific people for cleaning or errand people who can run around and, you know, pick up different things and go shopping. Personal shoppers are part of that whole package. So in her model, I've really led her towards, you know, model the company after what I call outsource companies, meaning, you know, you could do this from your, you know, bedroom office and not have a huge staff, but basically you're the go-between to help a family identify their needs, do a needs assessment, and then help contract and hire all those people, but all they do is pay one check to her, and then she pays everybody else. So when she finds a model company, she could either look at the in-house models or the outsourcing joint venture models. And all of you have that opportunity. I mean, I've worked with dentists, chiropractors, I mean, all of the kinds of companies that I've talked about, like tutoring, clearly an outsource model is a better model. But that's something for you to determine. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to get out and Google it. You've got to go look online. And you got to go to the Yellow Pages online. And then you go out and visit these companies and talk to people. I mean, how are they building their companies? Like, what's the business model that they have, and then how do they get paid for what it is they do? And what's their exposure? What's their risk? How do they do contracts? So you really want to start interviewing a lot of other business owners who are doing exactly what it is you want to do. Because so many people think that going into business and becoming a cash machine is a risky proposition. I think it is the smartest thing you'll ever do to have sustainable wealth for the history of your life, because for the first time for many of you, you're going to be making your own cash. And I think, I mean, it's an odd concept for most people to listen to me. And then I always say, you know, it's odd because we haven't been taught. We've been taught to go be a technician and then go get a job. But if we were taught, which is part of my mission, but if we were taught in third grade how to learn to earn money in a more entrepreneurial fashion, this would not be an odd conversation for us. So I'm just challenging that, you know, it's new and it's different. It's not difficult. I mean, I can teach this to six-year-olds. I can teach this to seven-year-olds. And literally, that's why third graders totally get it. I mean, once they get it, they don't get the concept of a job. I mean, they kind of tease their parents, like, what are you doing? It's like, you can make so much more money being entrepreneurial. I mean, you have to look at the wealthiest people in the world are entrepreneurs. And, yes, they become stunning investors. But what their driving passion, some of them, like Warren Buffett, loves investing as his cash machine and what he does. But most of people that are really wealthy, I mean, Bill Gates built his dream business. And, yeah, I'm sure he became an extraordinary investor out of necessity of the money he had. And that's what I find with a lot of wealthy people. So, A, you're going to find the skill set and identify a company. B, you're going to find a model company. And if it's somebody in your backyard, they may say to you, you know what, I'm not going to give you all my information because, you know, I don't want you competing in my backyard. So go across the country or go to another market. If you're in San Francisco, go find a model company in Los Angeles where you're no threat to them. If you're in New York, go to Florida. Florida, go to New York. I mean, find some geographic area where the pricing would be similar. In San Francisco, you go to New York. New York, go to San Francisco. They're very similar pricing models of how they charge for services. If you're in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, I mean, stay in the Midwest because the West Coast pricing is going to be much different than what you're going to find. So find the area and the price models of how do these companies run. See, somebody's already done what it is you want to do. Making it up from scratch is absolutely a waste of your time. In fact, I find most business owners spend 2 to 3 years trying to make up and figure out the business model when somebody's already done it. Go model successful people, hence why we are such believers in mentoring and coaching. And I always find somebody who's doing what I want to do. It reduces my risk. In fact, I'm so good at it right now, I'll give ownership to somebody if they'll help me figure out how to do another business, like a laundromat. I think I might have said that last week. I bought a laundromat recently. No clue how to run it. In fact, I don't want to run it. But I gave ownership to somebody who has six of them, and he runs them proficiently and profitably. So it was worth putting him on my team to say, teach me how to do this. I'll put up the money. I'll put up the credit. I'll get the loan. You help me do the due diligence to make sure I'm buying a good laundromat. Let's get a laundromat and then show me how to hire the right people so this can just be another investment for me. And, of course, he did it. It was 15% of nothing, no money he had to put in, but I could pay him in an equitable way to use his brain. And I can promise you, I mean, I've had a burglary. That was exciting last week. You know, they ripped up some of my equipment. So who did I call? I called my partner. I said, what do we do? You know, who do we have come in to fix it? He immediately knew everybody. We had a call. We had a fix in 24 hours. Where if I was out on my own, I'd have to do the homework. I'd have to figure it out. I mean, you guys have got to get that the school system has done such damage to your psychology that when you look side to side in school, it's called cheating. When you look side to side as a smart business adult, it's called collaboration. And you guys have got to get playing the team sport is the only way to make money. Doing it as a lone ranger is a really, really risky way to make money. So, number one, skill set. Number two, your business model. Number three is one of my favorite. I call it a revenue model. So how is it that you're going to be paid? What's a competitive way in a very profitable way of which you'll be paid? And what's fair? Meaning, I'll go back to the every mother needs a mother. You know, she said, well, I'll charge them by the hour. I said, you can't do that because if you're slow, then they're charging by the hour and that's not fair. So do either a household price. So that's kind of where we came up with the idea of a needs assessment. And from the needs assessment, price the family on what their needs are on a monthly fee. And then it's up to you to be competitive on the pricing to make sure you're still making money. But that way the family can know and they can allow for that spending behavior every month versus it having be a variable cost to the family. Women out there, I can promise you your first move is to undercharge. I don't know how many women undercharge for the services. It's appalling to me. So charge what's fair in the marketplace. And again, your business model, the model company that you're going to find, will give you some very fair pricing of which you can model into your own business. So a revenue model is not only about fair pricing, bundling, we call it, where you can bundle a bunch of services together like chiropractors. You know, they'll charge for one session, two sessions. I said, no, we're going to do a bundle, meaning you're going to pay for 12 sessions up front. And by the way, if you do a bigger bundle, you're going to pay for, you know, 12 chiropractic sessions, X number of massages, and your supplements for the next 3 months. That's a bundle. So do that all in one fee. people who make money would rather do that than the nickel and dime every time they walk into their appointment. So those are sort of things we look at. We look at revenue modeling. So it's how are you going to make money, how are you going to price? Now, here's one of the biggest activities for all of you, and I really want you to come back next week with some of these numbers, is if you want to make an extra $100,000, then you need to make an extra $400 a day this year. All right, so $400 a day, 5 days a week, makes an extra $100,000. Now, some of you, I just promise you, across America, when most Americans are making in the 50s, that making that much money is exceptional. So let's just say, you know, kind of to the woman who was making 80, that she's really going for the 240. So the 240, if you back into that, that's $20,000 a month. And divide that by 4 weeks, so that's $5,000 a week. Divide that by 5 days of the week, that's $1,000 a day. Right? So for somebody to make $240,000 a year, they need to come up with a revenue model, a business model, a pricing structure that will create $1,000 a day. So that's where I want your head. I don't want you worried about you're in debt, and I don't want you worried about a $3 latte. Do you see how, like, some of these old models are just ridiculous? They're not even in the right conversation. I mean, who cares about a $3 latte? I mean, who cares that you got debt? You're in the wrong conversation. Think about what you think about, you get. So I want you to think about making money. So what can you do to be creative and resourceful that's going to have you perform at a level that's $1,000 a day? So that's how many customers, that's how much, you know, how many, what's their per unit price. So for every mother needs a mother, you know, maybe she's charging $400 a month to a family. So that's 2.5 families per day on average that she has to get to hit those numbers, right? So you start. So then that leads sort of to the next number four, which is the team. So given your business model, given the revenue model, that will inform you of how large your business has to be. So for the woman who's doing every mother needs a mother, I mean, she really needs to get about 70 consistent clients paying her every month. So that requires her to really look at, well, who's in my team going to be? How many massage vendors do I need? How many house cleaning vendors do I need? How many nanny vendors do I need? You know, who do I all need to be on this team to fulfill the $1,000 a day revenue model I have? So as you see, you're starting to layer into really building a really, really nice business plan from what am I going to do, who's the model company, how am I going to price, and who's the team. And then, you know, there's a lot of nuances on how you're going to contract your team, put your team together, are you going to hire them, and how you're going to get the team together. And then the last, which is critical and probably the most underestimated use of your time and power, which is marketing. So once you know, you know, the business, the model, the revenue model, and the team, now you've got to hit the streets and you've got to market. Because your, you know, the scope of how big you're building is going to tell you what kind of marketing you need to do. You need to do radio, and don't underestimate, I mean, radio is so cheap, and most people will not spend the money to do radio spots. I mean, I'm doing radio spots all over the nation. I mean, you can do, like, I have a teenage millionaire coming up in Sacramento, and I'm going to be doing 70 spots a week. And I'm going to do it for 2.5 weeks straight. It's only about $3,800 total. I mean, that's really cheap radio time for prime time radio spots, you know, 70 times a week for several weeks. So you got to break that down. I mean, most people don't have any idea the cost of marketing, direct mail campaigns to networking. When I had no marketing dollars to start with, I went out and I talked to people. I spoke and I spoke and I spoke. I talked to the Rotary clubs, I talked to chambers. I mean, I was constantly in conversations with people about who I am, what do I do, how can I help them, what's in it for them. And, I mean, marketing is an art form to itself. Now, if you're not good at marketing, but the rest of it all makes sense to you, then you know where I'm going to go, which is partner up with somebody who really is not only knows marketing, but is really good at marketing. You have got to have this as part of your business planning process. The number one reason we see people not really build the cash machines is they have great ideas, they find the company, their revenue model, and they just have no idea how to market. You have got to learn to market. So With that, Vic, how about we go live for just some questions on cash machines, and then okay. I have a little bit more I'm going to go into, but let's just see if everybody's current and if there's any real big questions they have right off the bat.
Okay.
How about we go live for just some questions on cash machines, and then
okay.
I have a little bit more I'm going to go into, but let's just see if everybody's current and if there's any real big questions they have right off the bat.
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Okay. My basic question is, I'm a business consultant, and I'm already leased out exclusively to one company to run her business. I'm writing business plans and helping her develop and grow this business, but I'm leased to her basically until the end of the year, and I'm finding I need to make more money, but I'm hurt. I don't know how to get out of it.
Oh, you're easy. Come on. You know what you do. What do you need to do?
Well, I was going to pick up another client, but she's working more than 40 hours a week, and I'm exhausted.
Right. So what do you need to do? You need to go back to her and do what?
Renegotiate the contract.
There you go. So here's what you want to do. You want to go with her with a really good plan because you obviously don't want to lose her, right? And I would bet, I mean, really think about it. I would bet that there are activities that she's having you do that are below your skill set means.
Very much so.
Very much so.
So what you need to do is really, you know, I mean, I don't care if you say, you know, I learned this just recently or however you want to frame it. Say, but what I'm really noticing is, you know, I'm doing things that maybe 20 hours a week is really my skill set, and the rest of the time is not my skill set. So what I want to propose, or it is my skill set, I can manage it. So I'm going to give you everything you want, but I'm actually going to renegotiate in a better way. So I would kind of break down the things that you'll keep. Clearly she wants you, so you have to stay in the deal. But and I would find somebody that you could outsource a chunk of the work to. And then maybe give her, if she's willing to renegotiate, a little price break on the contract. Because you can probably hire somebody for $15, $18, $20 an hour. But keep, you know, you got to keep some margin in there, too. You still want to make a good $10, $15 maybe on her. So whatever, I mean, I'm just making up the numbers. But do you see where I'm going?
Thank you.
If she gets a little price break, she actually gets better service because she's got a couple people focused, and more brains means more creativity. And she frees you to go get other contracts. That's how I would do it. I would go renegotiate this thing. Get yourself free to make more money. And easy. Other questions?
Well, Daniel calling from Charlotte.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you are just fabulous. Thank you so much for the great energy and information. But just to clarify the model that you just described, what was number three? Because I think I may have combined it, and possibly others missed number three as well.
All right, number one is your skill set. Number two is the model, like who's the model.
And the model, right.
And then revenue model is how you're going to make the money. That's a very specific independent step.
So you included that as a separate step.
Absolutely. How you make the money is your own independent revenue model, because you may end up picking five different model companies and blending them to make one you, and then that's your revenue model. So revenue model is not what the other company is doing. It's what you're going to do.
Thank you very much.
And then team and marketing is four and five. Great. Good questions. Who else?
Laurel, this is Fran in Seattle, and my frustration is anything that I would do using my skill set would be a conflict of interest with my present job.
Are you on a contract with them?
No.
Then that's just your skill.
Well, I shouldn't say that. There is an employment agreement.
No, you love that.
I cannot go out and do this for anyone else while I'm doing this. We do executive staffing, and I manage a sales team, training them to do.
But you could do something better on similar ground.
such as, I mean, career consulting or anything like that is a conflict of interest of what I'm doing.
Well, look, this is just for a moment here. The agreements that I've seen in the past, I've used them, I've also signed them, generally relate to a geographic area, correct?
Yes, I would agree.
So you perhaps can't do it in a specific geographic area, but why not outside that? We're in a world now where there are no boundaries.
Well, because I work for a company that's global. I work for the second largest company in the world.
What about headhunting on the side, or owning a company that headhunts?
That, again, is a conflict of interest with my employment agreement.
Well, then quit.
That's great, but I need to keep a roof over my head.
So
the fact of the
matter is... But I have looked at, and what I am doing is looking at some of the internet marketing, the pay-per-click things. I haven't developed the product yet. I don't know. I don't exactly what it looks like, what it is, because even if I were to headhunt on the side, I'm in the same situation of working 60 to 70 hours a week, and it's my knowledge. I'd still have to train this other person and the time that's involved in that. It's not a quick turnaround.
So I think you could also find there's so many people who do what you do, and here's the truth. One of you has got to be the entrepreneurial guts. Like, one of you really has to be the one to say, you know what, I'm going to go launch it. And I bet if you set up an equity position for two or three of you, I have a woman actually in Santa Barbara, I did it with her. She was a very similar situation, and she did make some tapes and workbooks on how to train people, how to hire, and she became more of a consultant to small business on hiring, because most small business owners are horrible at hiring.
Absolutely.
In fact, I was horrible at it until I had her and some other people, because I would always hire in my like kind. Everybody hires people they like, not, I would say, you know, like, I needed to hire a whole bunch of analysts. And my whole theory of diversity, it's great if you can tolerate it, because everybody's so different. Their work styles are different. I think there's a whole thing. Let me think of all the cash machines we're going to be creating in the world in the next few years. And most of these small business owners don't know how to hire. So you can create some sort of little product and gather up some other people who have similar skill sets where you don't have such a training, you know, you don't have so much training. You could do consulting. You could do training. You could do online surveys. There's so much stuff you could do with that skill set. I think where you have to get, though, is psychologically, what can you do to supercharge some cash right now and then give yourself 60, 90 days and just make this thing work so when you have the momentum, you know, you're ready to quit.
Okay.
I mean, you really have to think you're sitting on a multi-million dollar business. So why not activate? Yeah, so let's go. You don't need to play small and just do this for someone else. We're your training ground. Now let's go. Isn't that fun?
Laurel Dayton here one last time, but, you know, sometimes success in life, in business, in just living your life is a matter of choices.
Oh, it's all about choices every day.
It's not about understanding. It's not about having a stable background. It's about having faith in yourself.
Yep.
So have faith in yourself and in your future, and go for it.
Especially you parents, I always have to pick on you guys. But, I mean, you're modeling for your kids what's possible. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more exciting than, you know, watching, you know, a single mom totally break out of, you know, doing a job where their kids never get to see them to, you know, this one mom I worked with that, you know, came home and did a scrapbooking business. In less than 7 months, she's made over $80,000. And her kids see her. Her kids see her model, her courage to do that. You know, I have one guy who I'm offering him a mentorship, kind of internship, I'm sorry. He gets to come to our mentoring program for free, just a scholarship, because he's so amazing championing his mom. He's 16 years old, and he's just like, she went through a horrible divorce, and he was sort of left behind, too. And, you know, he's like, come on, Mom, you know, you can do this. And he was amazing just championing his mother to quit her job and go build her dream. I mean, there's no... It's totally about choice, and it's totally about you having the courage and faith in yourself to do it. You're absolutely right. You know, it's like Vic, it's like Bob Proctor, I said, I love this line with you. I said, I'm going to believe in you. You know, I remember my 20s here. I said, young lady, I'm going to believe in you until you believe in you, because you don't believe in you. And I love that statement. I think that's so true.
Yeah. Well, in her case, I mean, you know, she's obviously talented, or she wouldn't still be employed. But what she may not realize is she's getting paid at wholesale because her employer is selling at retail for services, and in order to do that, they have to pay wholesale for her services. So she's literally selling her life right now at wholesale.
And, that's a great distinction.
You know, she can get retail for it because her employer's getting retail for it right now. The difference is her, perhaps her employer knows how to market when she's in. That's probably the missing piece for her. But, yeah, it's easily $250,000, $500,000, a multi-million-dollar program for her.
Actually,
absolutely.
And I'll jump in there again. Marketing is kind of my forte, but then you'll probably really have a heyday with me when I tell you I have the number one operation in the country.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, you shouldn't have told us that. You shouldn't have told us that.
Now you're in trouble. If you were in my program, I would challenge you to be done in 30 days.
Oh, well, I don't think that happened, but we'll work on it.
You shouldn't have told Laurel that. I'm telling you, that was wrong.
I know.
Laurel.
You little chicken.
All you got to do is just go back and figure out what your company's margin is and look at what your revenue was last year that you produced, and that was what you could have kept was in your home last year, and instead it went somewhere else.
Yep. All right, another question, and then I'm going to go offline and do a little entity and tax structure for you.
Laurel, this is Honey.
Hi there.
Hi. Now, I was a stay-at-home mom for 17 years, then I drove a school bus for 8.5, and now I'm a realtor. And as far as a skill set, do you think I just need to go out and sell more houses?
Oh, absolutely. Now, here's the thing about all real estate, and you've got to change your strategy with whatever marketplace you're in. Where are you at?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. I mean, we're a lot of money. Selling retail or pre-construction. Go to commercial. Commercial is a lot hotter. Apartments are. Sales and rent have an inverse relationship, and right now a lot of markets are flatter. So a lot of people aren't buying, they're renting. But I'll tell you who is buying is investors are buying more rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
So one, a niche that I think no matter what you sell is to be a realtor, be the agent of for investors. There's a huge market where people, especially because I'm teaching people all over the country to call into cities and look for people who work with investors. So learn to work with investors. They may try to discount you on their, services, on your services somewhat, but know that investors will always have multiple purchases with you.
Okay.
So absolutely, I would do that. The other things you could add on your tool belt, again, the whole market slowed down a little bit because of the interest rates, but put some opportunity for some mortgage. You can also have, some referral money on that, so put some mortgage on your tool belt. You could also partner with credit repair companies. So a lot of the real estate, mortgage, credit kind of people, get joint ventures. So once you get a customer and maybe they can't get quite a good loan or a different loan because of their credit, then, partner with a credit repair company and, take a little, commission or some sort of a marketing fee for bringing them clients. So I think there's a lot of additive things you can do to keep your revenue high during slower real estate markets.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So let's go offline real quick, Vic, and then I'm going to talk about entities, tax, and then we'll come back for a few more questions before we wrap up. I'll give you some more.
Okay.
So as you decide on your cash machine, all of you, no matter what country you're in, becoming a corporation is essential. A lot of people, here's the myth. You'll talk to a CPA and they say, well, you're just not making enough money to be a corporation. Now, I don't think becoming incorporated has anything to do with how much money you're going to make. I think it has everything to do with the intention of making money. So here's what I mean by that, is if your intent to build this cash machine to $100,000, $200,000, whatever the dollar amount is, then let's get incorporated from the beginning, no matter what country you're in, and here's why, is if you wait to be incorporated, here's your challenge. I see this all the time. It just drives me nuts. You're a sole proprietor. You go get a bank account. You're operating your business, and you're 2-3 years in, and all of a sudden you're making an enormous amount of money, more than you ever had, and now your CPA or somebody says, now is the time for you to be incorporated. Here's the problem. You're in the run of your life, like you're busier than you've ever been, right? And here's what most people haven't told you. You now have to go shut your bank account down. And if you operate online services like Vic and I do, you have to shut your merchant account down because that's under your Social Security number and your own sole proprietor business. You have to reopen up all these accounts under your new, what's called EIN number. And so you shut all this stuff down with your Social Security number, you open up your EIN number. The downside with that is to banks and financial institutes and even you know, vendors, it looks like you've just begun because you have brand new accounts. So all of the work credit-wise that it took to build the company and build your history, now that's the piece they forget to tell you around Impent, is building history in companies is, I mean, you couldn't even put a price tag on it. Building corporate credit is invaluable. And in the middle of the run of your life, you know, 2 to 3 years in when you're the busiest, is the last time that you personally have time to shut everything down and then go reopen all these accounts. And the other part is, so that's the tactical part. The emotional part is when people are serious about building a cash machine and you get incorporated from the beginning, your intent to be successful is what you're stating to the world, right? And so all of you that believe in any of the laws of the universe know that what you intend and what you put out, right, if you watch The Secret, the Law of Attraction, I mean, you're going to get it. So I think those who kind of stutter step through sole proprietor land and say, well, I'm just going to start a little and I'll see how it goes, I mean, you're sort of being a chicken. You're saying, well, deliver it if you want, universe, but, you know, I'll see what happens. I mean, it's horrible. So I think from a spiritual place, from a universal law place, from a tactical, you're going to lose all your, you know, years of credit. Now, you may have superior credit personally, but that means you have zero business-wise. And the benefit of business, one of them, among many, is that you get kind of a whole nother credit history because your corporation can have its own credit history. And you have your own personal, and you have multiple companies, you have multiple credit history and credit lines. So believe me, I just tell you it's what the wealthy do. If you have the intent, when you have the intent, right, so you, the staffing woman, when you quit in 30 days, you know, immediately, you know, meet with and one of your incorporation people. We have an incorporation people we can refer you to and get the right corporate structure, start from the beginning, get the right bank accounts, get the right merchant accounts, have it all be under the corporate number, name, and just go for it. Because psychologically, you're going to go for it. And does it cost a little more? Absolutely. But you know what? Your intent is to make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. You will afford it. It's just the cost of starting up. So that's kind of the get incorporated and kind of our opinion, specifically my opinion about getting it done right in the beginning. And then the other thing and why being incorporated is so important, especially in the United States, and again, all countries have two tax systems, but I'm going to speak specifically of the U.S., is with your Social Security number, you truly only get to activate about 13, 14 pages of the tax code. So you're way overtaxed. You're taxed for everything. The rich are not getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. I said that last week. We're not even in the same conversation. Because when you're incorporated, you can activate 66,000 pages of the tax code. In a C corporation alone, you get over 300 business deductions. So if you're a sole proprietor, sure, you can write off a little bit of health insurance. But when you're in a C corporation, you get a complete defined benefit health plan where you can write off your massage, acupuncture, oils, supplements, your gym membership. I mean, it's unlimited what can be deducted. If you have a knee-high dog and you have a home office, it's home security. And we take that little dog down, you get it groomed and, you know, given it shots and whatever you're going to do with it. That's called home security maintenance. 100% of that animal can be written off. Now, if it's a little tiny dog, you can't do that. But if it's a knee-high or so, it's actually home security. I have a client who, Vic, I know you know her, but she writes off her cat. Her cat has a blog, for God's sake. It's the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. But her CPA is willing to defend it, and she writes that off. I mean, the minute that I have my little one, she's already got a modeling contract with the corporation. We're just waiting for her to be born, just like my son has a modeling contract. We take pictures of them. They're put on different brochures. They're put on kids' information, and they're models for the corporation. So they have employment, which means they have Roth IRAs, which means we have tax-free, tax-deferred plans for the kids from, you know, the moment of their delivery. some of you are saying, oh, my gosh, that's a little over the top. It is not over the top. I mean, you can write off through certain ways that you do corporate structure all your private education. A lot of parents say, well, how do I write off my kids' private, you know, schools? By having your kids employed by the corporation who allows private education to be written off as a tax deduction. I mean, and a lot of you say this isn't legal. It is totally legal. We're just not taught. So I think a fifth or sixth grade class should be the true tax system of the United States. I mean, history is nice and it's interesting, but what are we going to use as adults? We're going to use the tax system. And we're not taught. In fact, it's so patronizing when I read articles in magazines and newspapers that are so patronizing. It says, it's okay, America. It's just very complicated. It is not that complicated. Nobody wants to sit down and teach you what's true about living corporate life. And living corporate life is how the wealthy keep their money home, because they make it, they deduct darn near everything. I mean, I was out. I took a whole bunch of people out. It was Carl who presented, you know, him from the seminar. It was his birthday on Sunday. So we took a whole bunch of people out on the boat at Lake Tahoe. And it was so fun driving by other boats, because one of the boats was so cute. It was called An Appointment. One boat was called The Boardroom. And we were laughing. I said, I can't wait, because when I get mine, I'm going to call it Making a Deal. So when Vic calls me and some of my assistants, she says, so, well, she's out making a deal. I said, it'll be me out on my boat, and I'll just write the whole boat off. Because as long as you take clients and customers out, in fact, Vicky just comes like, well, just go out and make a deal on the boat. I mean, there's so many deductions you can do, and the difference is insurmountable. I mean, it's literally the difference between paying 20 or 30, 40% versus you keeping 20, 30, 40%. The difference is you'll be a millionaire in 3 to 5 years. I mean, it's that critical that you get incorporated, you fully use the tax code of your country, and as you make money, then next week we'll go into how do you invest it. So you're making it and you're keeping it. Yeah, is really the point of tonight's call. So with that, Vic, let's go back and we can kind of wrap up the call with some more questions, and I'll give some final homework.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We got about 6 minutes left, and what we'll do is I'm going to unmute everyone again. Mm-hmm. And, again, I'll ask you, if you're not prepared to ask a question, to star six yourself into mute, because it automatically, unfortunately, the system unmutes everyone at the same time. And we're going to do that in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, this is Lorraine in Boise, Idaho.
Hello there.
Hi. My question is, how do I find a CPA or bookkeeper or somebody in my local area who understands what you understand about bookkeeping and corporations?
Let them listen to the Wealth Foundation package that you're going to get. Have them read the Millionaire Maker book. Interview them. And in most of my work, I give you a whole place where you can start interviewing. So first of all, and also I'm going to give you the caveat. My CPA, I have several of them, don't even live within 100 miles of where I live. So they do not have to be in your geographic area. So a lot of you, I know that'll be a stretch, but truly you want to go for the experience of the best, not those who are local and convenient. For those of you who really want somebody, I'd interview. I'd say, how many corporate returns do you do versus sole proprietor individual returns? So you don't want to be the only corporation they have. Like, there are firms who literally only will do corporate returns. They'll do your individual one just because, you know, you need to get your individual one done, but they specialize in corporate returns. There's people who specialize in real estate returns. So it's a big interview process. You want to know, are they investors? Are they just, you know, tax preparers? Do they really use the tax code? How aggressive are they about using the entire tax code and the deductions? So in the Building, Leading, Protecting Your Business book, I give a whole series of questions that you'd ask somebody like that. And it's interview, interview, interview. Better than that, starting from scratch, is, again, I'd go find referral sources. So find there are different people in your area who have they used. Other small business owners are very, you know, open to sharing who they're using as their bookkeepers and CPAs. But I agree. I mean, I don't start from scratch anywhere. That just takes too much time. So who are your other colleagues using?
Okay. Laurel, this is Leela Ashkari. I'm from Florida Keys.
Mm-hmm.
I have chewed your book. I came to the Clean Power Now. I'm just going to be thankful for Vic Johnson. I have S Corporation. I'm doing my 3 LLCs. I do have 9 investments here. I'm a real estate agent, and I do have 2,112 hours per year that I can dedicate to cash machine you're talking here. Where? What is my next step? I saw Carl at the claim, the power now, but I lost him in a minute. So he told me to either email you guys or call you. Is there any way that I can present this portfolio that I have? I have my team, which you call the CPA, tax planner, my financial planner.
Yeah, I know that Carl's willing to take some of your emails direct, so you could email him at carl@liveoutloud.com and just follow that conversation up. Truly, before you even have that, you know, what is your skill set? I mean, you really have to think, you know, how have you made the money? It sounds like you're a good investor. But again, and the investor side is not what we're talking about. This is, you know, how else are you going to make some new money? I mean, given as smart as you are and you're already playing the game, there's got to be something in your heart and soul and purpose that you want to start turning on and saying, let's go make some money.
I do know that also, Laurel. Talking with Jerry Roberts to publish my book. Other than that, I have a virtual assistant now, which I can be a virtual assistant, and coaching and speaking. I mean, I've got a great communication skill and marketing skill.
Yep. So why don't you just follow through and follow up with Carl, and we'll help you move.
Okay.
Make sure that you let him know that you're from Vic's seminar.
Yes, I will.
Hi, Laurel. This is Gabe in West Palm Beach.
Hi there.
I had a quick question. It has to do more with the psychology component of everything.
Huh?
If going with just based off, you know, your teachings and Bob Proctor's teachings, with being able to focus and declaring that intent, if one has already been able to figure out how to do that, and you decide to go ahead, okay, make your goal bigger, make your dream bigger, would you recommend just sticking to the initial one and completing that one before focusing and declaring that next big intent, or just to gain some momentum? Or
Great question. I get what you're saying. So here's what I always say is I would take at least one cash machine minimum. I would take it to a minimum of $100,000. So I think a big mistake people make is they get to 40, 50, and they think, oh, this is good. And then they get confused what multiple streams of income is, and they then start something else and start something else. Well, 40,000, 50,000 of one thing, I don't think is enough. So grow one to at least 100 minimum before you start another, and then before you start another. I mean, I own multiple companies, but I did do them all at once. I got really good at growing one. And then once you know how to do it, it's easy to kind of to turn on the switch of the next one. But I think you really got to get good. I mean, you got to get good at kind of these four skills, and you can write these four down because I think it's for anybody in entrepreneurial land. You've got to get good at marketing, sales, leadership, and finance. When you can really proficiently manage those four skill sets in almost any environment, which I know I can, I mean, anywhere, anytime, I don't need to know what the tactical thing is. I know how I can, you know, make money. Once you feel more confident, then I'd go. But I get all of those skill sets on your tool belt.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Thank you.
So homework for all of you, identify your skill sets, identify at least one or two model companies, practice some revenue modeling, how are you going to make some money, a minimum six-figure income, and which is $400 a day, and start thinking about how am I going to make $400 a day, who's the team that's going to help you, and what are you going to do to market. If you come back to next week's call having thought through that or at least written some of that down, you are going to be far ahead. And we'll start with check-in on those homeworks, and then we're going to go to the investing side of the house of how do you build double-digit portfolios. It's exciting.
Fantastic. Another exciting call. Thank you, Laurel. Boy,
thank you.
If you really understood how significantly you can change your life in the next 365 days, taking what you've heard on these two calls alone and what you'll get next week by putting it into play. So please don't just blow the homework off. Don't blow. This is, you just don't understand, I don't think. If you don't do it, it's because you really don't understand. So please make the time this week. These are important exercises. You'll be very pleased with the time that you invested to do that. Laurel, thank you again. Outstanding call, young lady. You just keep doing better and better and better and better.
Thank you. Get it, Vic.
Everyone have a great evening. Good night.